Welcome to the Bold Company podcast, where we share unfiltered business stories from the people who are making it happen.
I'm Hannah from Business Canterbury.
And I'm Tim from Ruffles. Listen in as we share stories and celebrate the role of business in our region.
A huge thank you to one of our season sponsors, Christchurch Airport, growing the engine room for Canterbury business, and Christchurch NZ, the city's economic development agency, shaping an economy where people and places thrive, as well as Ruffles Studio for producing this in-house.
Bold Company Podcast.
Let's get bold. Welcome back to Bold Company. Here with us, we have Flip Greater, musician, author, and owner of Greater Goods, a plant-based bistro here in Otatahi. Welcome, Flip.
Kia ora.
So excited to sit down with you.
It's great to be here.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Greater Goods or Greater Goods Bistro, what a GG Bistro, what are you now? How are you, because you've recently made a shift into the central city instead of being on the fringes. Can you, how do you introduce yourself?
We have, the company is still Greater Goods, but the hospitality offering is GG Bistro.
Awesome.
Amazing.
Which is kind of what we were just calling it internally anyway, it's just what it's ended up being. And actually, I noticed one of my young staffers put on Instagram the other day GGB, and I thought, well, now we're shortening it even further. It's just going to be a grunt in a minute.
Yeah.
I love it, and I think the name really suits it as well too. My husband and I were there a couple of weeks ago, and we loved it, and it was very intimate and very kind of reminded me of when we were overseas, like in Europe, and
thanks. It was gorgeous. That is exactly what we're going for.
I thought you might. It was gorgeous. Flip, could you tell us a little bit about your story and how did Greater Good start?
Yeah, so in my career as a musician, I had been spending a lot of time in France and Europe, and then I decided to live in France for a while. I was living in Paris, and it was nice and also incredibly challenging, which is kind of what I wanted out of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it was good. I really did find it difficult to find plant-based options, though, and it occurred to me that there would be a market for plant-based products that could go alongside wine. But I was busy making records, and then I came back to Canterbury to have my wedding and quite quickly had my daughter. And then sort of because of that moment where I wasn't touring as much, it sort of occurred to me to pivot into food a little bit. And also, like, after you have a child, there's a sort of, for me at least, when she was born, it just occurred to me that not doing everything I could every day for the planet was incredibly an unthinkable way to live. So I really felt like singing sad songs might not be the thing that is gonna save us. So I thought maybe plant-based food could, to some degree, and be a form of activism.
Sad songs have a place, don't they?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they do.
But did you, when you had that realization, you were in Paris, and then you came to Christchurch, which is a significantly smaller market than Paris, and you decided that that was still a good option. How do you sort of reconcile the scale with the dream?
Great question. I think it's, one of the things that I love about Canterbury is that it is an easy place for me. It's where my family is, and it's where I speak the language, and, I understand the culture. And that's why I wanted to get the hell out of here as soon as I was 17, and then just spent many, many years travelling and living in different places around the world and around the country, and never really saw myself coming back here. But once I was back, once I had a baby, I was like, I don't really want to go anywhere else, because this is already really hard, this whole like raising a baby thing. I just need everything to be as easy as possible outside of that. So I wasn't really looking to go anywhere else at that point. And I thought, well, this is a great place to do business, because it's a place where I've got those connections and can make things work on scraps. I didn't have any money to start a business. So I just thought I'll call in all the favours and do my working bees and see what I can create. So I just started sort of testing out a few recipes in the home kitchen, Amazing. Taking some vegan meat products to family events over about a year. And eventually my brothers, who love meat, were like, this is actually good, I would eat this.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe I'm onto something here.
Do you think since the time you started and now, so when, what year did you start, Greta Good?
2018.
Do you think between 2018 and 2025 that there is, I think I know the answer, but that there is more acceptance of plant-based foods across the board? Or is it still a conversation you're having where the people who are carnivorous or omnivorous are still kind of, I don't want to say repelled, but there was kind of quite a lot of violent reaction to plant-based food when it first became popular, wasn't it? So it was sort of like a challenge to that status quo.
For sure.
Does that still exist in the same strength that it had, or has it become easier to have the conversation?
I would say it swings and roundabouts. At the start of the company, it was really in a moment that everything was flying upwards in this space. It was, acceptance was growing. It was becoming almost a trend, a trendy idea, like an appealing idea to people. And several documentaries came out that really helped with that, like Game Changers. And we really saw a huge uptake, and we were part of that. We've been part of that, and it was a beautiful ride to be on in that moment, to be creating something really unique within the space, but being part of this upwards trajectory, because we were just at this tipping point. I think where at the start people were really reluctant and skeptical, but then there was this massive uptake. Since then, I think in the last year there's been a dip. And so we're on this roller coaster right now where it's not that the interest has dried up, but the campaigning by the animal meat and dairy industry has been so effective that it has grown suspicion within the consumer. So now this general idea in the zeitgeist that plant-based foods are all ultra-processed and bad for you, and that meat is the healthier option, but when you're looking at those two things, has become really strong, and that has affected consumer demand, and more so it's really made and getting investors in this space much more difficult in the last sort of 2 years. I am really seeing the effects of that. Mm. So we were in this real upwards trajectory, and now it feels like it's levelling off. Mm. But it's still in growth. I think the important thing to remember is that this is still a growth area. It's just not on the giant hockey stick that it was.
Yeah. And is it also potentially that, people have less access to liquidity or to, go and casually spend money, so they might be a little bit less adventurous, or they might be spending less out.
What are you talking about? We're all loaded right now, right?
We just return to what we know rather than...
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling the realities of having a gourmet plant-based product in the middle of a recession. But it's certainly like this is the way things work. And if you zoom back out, you realize that everything is turns and roundabout. And I saw this article the other day about the way that the new theory about the universe is that it started with the Big Bang and it's going to end with the opposite of that, that the expansion is slowing down and in order to go back to a contraction and then ultimately end by disappearing. And it sort of got me thinking about how everything, if that is what the biggest picture is, that everything below that is a smaller version of that. And so our life and our death, our every season, everything is expansion and contraction. And I think that's a beautiful way to think about all the seasons of our lives, the seasons of business, the seasons of economy. Everything can relate back to that. So right now we're just in a moment of contraction, a moment where we just slow things down, pause, take a breath, make sure our systems are good, our company culture is good. Mm. We just take a second to just double check all of that stuff, because you can't have constant expansion. You can't breathe in constantly. You can't breathe out constantly. We need both.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really healthy thing to have in the economy and in business.
Mm-hmm. And just so happens that you paired with, you know, some really great wines, some really great produce. Canterbury's becoming more and more known as a food centre.
Very much so, you know,
so that's got to be beneficial as well. And I think we're maturing as a city. You know, I hate to say post-quake, but it does feel like we've finally got our feet on the ground a little bit, and that people are starting to form, you know. But after the earthquakes, there was no normal. Habits were hard to form, I suppose. Very it was hard so. To find, you know, yeah, yeah. constant. So, you know, hopefully, you know, your pairing and selection of, or your curation of, you know, all of the produce and all of the wines and all of that kind of hospitality stuff is going to pay dividends. So, I mean, I've not been to GG Bistro, but certainly been to...
Well, you'll have to come in.
Greater Goods.
Yeah.
And so, which is always charming, sort of quaint French countryside vibe.
Yep.
But this looks like it's, you know, it's like maybe more grown up. But the sophisticated cousin, maybe.
It is exactly that. Yeah, it's just really more aligned with where the brand direction is headed. Mm. And, you know, I think it's still a very unpretentious space. That's the key, really, is that we want it to be truly excellent but really unpretentious. And I think that is appealing to Christchurch consumers. Mm. And I think it's an important part of our kaupapa as well. Like, it's just not about being... assholes. It's about being a community hub. It's about being being a space where people can come and feel included, and that means not making anyone feel silly for not understanding what is in a plant-based piece of cheese. And it also is about having the price right so that everybody can come. Inclusion is a broad topic, and it's really important to what we do as a company.
Very much so. It's a very calming space as well too. When me and my husband went a couple of weeks ago, you know, we'd just been to the gym, and it had been on our list to go to GG Bistro, and you know, we'd had a pretty full-on couple of months, and we kind of just sat there, and lighting's low, very calm, and it was just eating some fries and two really good burgers, and it was just brilliant. It was,
nice.
A really nice environment to be in. So, yeah, definitely encourage people to check it out if you haven't been yet. Flip, I'm sure you've got a really loyal customers that kind of keep coming back, and, you know, they dip their toes into the plant-based landscape, and, you know, now they're huge fans. How do you ensure that customer loyalty? How do you keep them coming back?
I mean, as I say, I really want the space to be inclusive and welcoming and warm. I'm really stoked that we found that space, because it is really cozy and beautiful, and it's got two entrances, so lots of natural light. And it's a cool place to be for that reason. But I always talk about with my team, you know, how we want to show up as a company. And in the hospitality arm, it gives us such an amazing opportunity to be face-to-face with our customers and get an immediate feedback on the products that we're making and trialing, and the way that we present them and the environment in which we present these products to them. But it also gives us a chance to care for people in our community, you know, and that's such a basic way to care for people. Yep. Food and drink and, you know, literally nourishing people, it's such a base level of care. And we always talk about the fact that you never know what kind of day somebody's having or what they need in their day, but you can just show up and offer them a glass of water, you know, somewhere to gather with their friends, somewhere to gather with their family and eat some kai. And that's a beautiful thing. You might be the best part of their day. And if they're a busy mum, it's probably the first time anyone's asked them if they've had a glass of water in their day. So it's a special thing to be able to offer.
Yeah, for sure.
When you thought to yourself, I'll do this easy thing, I mean, restaurants and hospitality isn't the first
famously
thing that
hard.
Springs
famously
to mind,
easy,
right?
Yeah.
So have you always been a sucker for it? Is it something that drives you? you know, like you said earlier on, you said you moved to Paris for, yeah, it was fantastic and it was fun, but also it was really difficult and challenging, and that's what you were looking for. Is that just a personality trait? Is that what makes it successful? Is that, do you need that, how something to push against? Well, come on. Yes. Yeah. Is that a thing?
For sure that's a thing, but I think as well, I mean, it is... I never, to be honest, I never really wanted to go into hospitality. It was never an intention of mine. I just wanted to make a food product that didn't exist. I just wanted it to exist. I wanted vegan salami to exist. I wanted vegan cheeses to be good. That's what I wanted. And so I thought, I'll just do it because nobody else is doing it. It was no like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a business owner. I want to have a restaurant. It just didn't happen like that. I started making some vegan treats and selling it on Facebook. Then I started doing it from a tiny kitchen, and then people would come and buy it from me. So I thought, maybe I'll put it in sandwiches. And then I put one table out and then 10 tables out. And then suddenly it was a restaurant. And I would run outside and take the order when the bell rang. And then I would run back into the kitchen and make the food. And that's just how it grew. And so it was kind of an accident. Whoops, I'm in hospitality. And it was never really my passion at all, but I've really developed a love for hospitality. I mean, I always liked hosting people in my home, and I host people a lot. But this is just an extension of that. It's just a way to care for people with food and drink. And I love the hospitality industry now, as challenging as it can be.
And what have you taken from those earlier days recording music, living abroad, and... how have those sort of crossed over? Is it the same sort of thing? Is it that you're giving back to people, or is it?
Yeah, certainly it's giving back to people. It's also, I'm also really good at making a dollar stretch as a result, and that's, I think, a good skill in business.
Yep.
And, you know, I think caring about what it is that people are wanting and creating that. Making an expression of it's all creativity at the end of the day, you know, making an expression of what you want to see in the world and seeing that come to life. Mm. It can happen in a song, or it can happen in a recipe, or it can happen in an advertising campaign.
Mm.
All of these things are expressions of what we want to see in the world and how we show up. And so that is on an individual level, that on a company level, and that on a citywide, nationwide, humanity-wide level.
Flip, where do you see the plant-based industry going in the next 5 to 10 years, and how are you as a business preparing for that shift to come?
I think right now we're in that contraction mode, as I was saying, but we will go back into an expansion mode for sure. Right now we're just sort of gathering and getting our bearings and checking our systems, and then we will be in a really good position to grow once the economy's getting back into a better shape. So I'm excited for what the future holds, and I think plant-based is only going to go strength to strength. Yeah. People will see through this idea about plant-based food being overprocessed. They will, you know, people are clever ultimately, and they will understand like that. You know that so many of the products available are like ours are purely natural, are made with whole ingredients, and the processing is about as complicated as making a loaf of bread. And so people ultimately do want options. They want to see the planet survive. They just don't want to have to struggle or suffer or make choices that feel like sacrifices, or like eating something that tastes terrible, or omitting wonderful parts of their lives. So we're only ever going to see change.
Yeah.
We're only ever going to see real change in the real masses when there are truly good products available. So we need to be investing in those spaces. We need to be creating opportunities, experiences, and food that isn't a sacrifice, that is delicious, that is fun, that is joyful, that is something you want, so that people can choose it joyfully and then participate in goodness and making good things happen.
Sure. Flip, if you could go back to first starting your business, what advice would you give younger Flip?
Don't start a business at the same time as you have a baby.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think if I'd started meditating sooner, it would have been good. I mean, I was always into meditation in my 20s, but I kind of let it fall off a little bit with a small baby in tow. But since I've gotten back into a regular meditation practice, it's been really beneficial as a business owner or as a human on the planet.
Yeah.
And I think I would also just remind myself to celebrate, to just really pause and celebrate each win, even if it feels really little, because it is so crucial when you're in that busy growth mode to take those moments. And all of that, all of those details that you build, all of the pausing and the celebrating and the detail of this thing you're creating, it all comes so much in handy when things pause, when things feel hard, when there's a difficult moment, when there's a different, when there's a down in the roller coaster. Those the team that you've built around you, the systems that you've created, all of that, that's when that comes really into play.
Yeah, amazing. All right, I think it's quick fire question time.
Let's do it.
Flip, last meal on earth.
Dramatic.
Okay.
What would it be?
Right now.
Dramatic much?
Got to give a bit of drama.
Really apocalyptic vibe. Okay. I mean, it has to be some kind of noodle.
Interesting.
Probably some sort of like a vegan dan dan mian.
Ooh. Yum.
Are you making it?
I can make it, but my favourite. If it's my last meal on earth, I think I'd like somebody to make it for me.
Is that in your, we've got your cookbook at home, Flip. Is that in your cookbook?
No, it's mostly European meals.
I was
in that.
Thinking, yeah, it's, can't remember any noodles.
No, so, but my daughter and I eat a lot of Asian food and we eat a lot of noodles.
Yes.
She's got a really high spice tolerance, which I'm proud of.
So are we talking rice noodles? Are we talking wheat noodles?
No, wheat noodles, although any noodle, any noodle just would be, any kind of noodle would honestly be my last meal. But dan dan is usually a wheat noodle. And my favourite one in town is made by Miss Peppercorns in Sumner. Yes.
And their dumplings as well too.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the really thick style noodles that they make?
No.
That's
the biang biang. They're excellent.
Oh, they're biang biang. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Have you been there, Tim?
Miss Peppercorns?
Yes.
Not for a very long time.
Oh.
Yeah, so when they first sort of opened-ish. Yeah.
So, so good.
But you have to ask for authentic spicy.
Yeah, good.
To get the right heat.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Goodness. Tim, what about you?
Look, so for me, I am, I don't know. That's a ridiculous question. That's like,
it is ridiculous.
At the moment, I am craving, and I've kind of, I guess it's we're recording this, going into winter. And so I'm sort of craving more homely foods, and I'm gonna actually stick with our plant-based option. I had a meal in Kathmandu, in the city.
Yes.
Not the shop. I had a meal which was near this super cool stupa. It's a really beautiful temple in Kathmandu. Mm. And I had a dal bhat, which is traditional Nepalese rice and dal. And it has about five different curries on the side.
Nice.
Potato curry, vegetable curry. And it's just, I think, I'm not plant-based, but if I was, I think, and I had to choose one cuisine, I think I would probably go for Indian because I love
so much variety.
The variety and the range and stuff. Yeah. And, I mean, that's what I feel like today because it's raining outside.
Mm-hmm.
If you asked me on a hot day, totally different answer.
Yeah, of course.
Totally different answer.
Oh, my goodness, I want ramen for lunch now. I've just looked on my previous Uber Eats order because I love it so much. My husband and I always go to the restaurant, but I Uber Eats it as well too, just because it's amazing. So Tanoshi in Christchurch, they do a tan tan vegan ramen, which is
nice,
amazing, really,
yeah,
really
creamy,
good.
Yum.
Yeah, you'd love it.
Good choice.
Good choice. What my last meal would be, I think I'm going more entree, main, dessert.
Entree
would be just some really good vegetarian or vegan dumplings. I love dumplings. Main, I feel like would be a really good pizza. I love pizza. And then dessert, a very specific creme brulee that I had actually when I was in Paris a couple of years ago, and it was just amazing. I feel like that would be me.
That's pretty good.
That's great. Are you washing it down with anything?
Margarita.
A margarita, yeah.
Mm. A beer is the best match for the Dun Dun noodles, but it's not my favourite drink.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, definitely margarita all day long. Thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely amazing to have a chat with you and sit down and kind of hear a bit into how Greater Goods was started, and all the best with the bistro. I'm sure it will do absolutely amazing, and Tim, and I'm sure will be around to visit soon.
I will be, and enjoy coming out of the contraction. And into expansion.
Yeah, so, thanks.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for joining us for Business Canterbury's Bold Company podcast.
We're sharing inspiring stories from Canterbury with the aim to help build stronger business community. If you know of a Canterbury business with a story to share, we want to know about it.
And send some love our way with a review.
See you next time, Canterbury.